Thank you. Take five, Dave Brubeck Quartet, getting us started on a Tuesday afternoon. Oh, the best laid plans. I got to tell you, my soundboard just disappeared from my computer screen just as the song was ending, and I was trying frantically to get it back up so I could play the disclaimer for you, and it's just gone. Oh, my goodness. Now they're both gone. Let's see if I can pull it up here. No, it just disappeared. I don't know what happened. So we may have no sound at all today. Wouldn't that be a lovely thing? I'll figure it out while we get going. Anyway, welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Nicole Sandler here with you at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. I honestly don't know what happened here. I'm so, wow. Oh, there it is. Come on. I see it. Now we can do this.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Your discretion is advised.
All right, so at least we got that much going for us. Now I feel whole again. So how was your weekend? I know we, you know, Donald Trump is over. Now he's in Rome. They landed in Rome. They're headed to the Vatican where he can embarrass himself further. I don't even know what to say. His adventures in Saudi Arabia, you know, in the Middle East and then in Israel. Yeah. I still don't have all my sound here. I'll figure it out. We'll get it for you. You know what I do want to talk about, and while I'm trying to figure out where my sound is. There it is. Okay. So here's what he said about going to, here we go.
The Secretary of State has done an incredible job. We just got back from the Middle East. We just got back to Saudi Arabia.
He said that in Israel. We just got back from the Middle East. Does Donald Trump not realize that Israel is in the Middle East? There's so much this man doesn't know, but I'll save a lot of that talk for when Gotta Laugh is here. It's Tuesday. Laffy's here. And because I don't do a news show on Mondays, we get to talk about everything that happened, you know, over the weekend. And wow, there's a lot of territory to cover. But today, the Trump administration released their budget, the actual long-form budget, not the skinny budget. And it's as bad as you would think. It really is just god-awful. And one of the things, here, let me share this with you. First, there was this. This is a little bit they had on NBC about the budget.
The proposal, entitled A New Foundation for American Greatness, calling for sweeping cuts to entitlement programs. Medicaid, $800 billion slashed over the next decade. $190 billion from the federal food stamp program called SNAP that fed 42 million Americans last year. Also targeted Social Security disability insurance that benefits more than 10 million Americans.
Okay, so food stamps. They want to take food out of, you know, hungry children's mouths. Social Security disability insurance. You know, that's what got Paul Ryan through high school and college after his father died. SSDI, they want to take away from, you know, orphans and widows and disabled people. These are not nice people here. But let me share with you this from a broadcasting website that I visit occasionally. President Trump's proposed budget for fiscal year 2018 follows through on his administration's goal of eliminating federal funding for public broadcasting. Listen to this. It designates $30.45 million to be used in shutting down the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So for 2018, it puts almost $30.5 million in there to shut down the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And for 2019, all $445 million requested gone. They wipe it out. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting would be completely gone. Also completely gone, well, in 2018, the National Endowment for the Arts, it appropriates $29 million to shut it down. To shut down the National Endowment for the Arts and nothing for fiscal year 2019. Okay, I understand when we're talking about people going hungry that the arts are not that big a deal, but you got to realize that the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Endowment for the Arts, funds arts programs in the schools, helps support artists. And if we are a nation without any arts, we may as well have nothing. And many of us already do have nothing. Taking food out of the mouths of babes. Now, the only reason I'm not totally like apoplectic about this right now is because it's dead. This will go nowhere. President's budgets always go nowhere. If you remember, at least the last couple of years, he submitted a budget, the Obama budget. I remember the last one. It was voted 99-0. Not only all the Republicans voted against it, but every single one of the Democrats voted against it, too. The president's budgets never do anything. However, they're not usually this heinous. And this guy, you know, I got to tell you, everything this guy promised during the campaign, he is reneging on. Every single thing. And that's why we need to watch out for Social Security and Medicare, because he said he wouldn't touch Medicaid either. And this wipes out Medicaid. I mean, virtually. What they said was, we'll block grant it. We'll give it back to the states to control. No, this cuts in, let's see if I can find the numbers in front of me. It cuts millions and millions of dollars. Let's see. Oh, and there's more. It gets worse here from the Washington Post. Let me just share this with you. It'll be easier than paraphrasing it. President Trump's 2018 budget request delivered to Congress on Tuesday with the title "A New Foundation for American Greatness." How's that for Orwellian language? Has roiled the medical and science community with a call for massive cuts in spending on scientific research, medical research, disease prevention programs, and health insurance for children of the working poor. I mean, there is zero. For years, I railed against the lack of compassion on the right. This just puts it all there in black and white right in front of you. And this, you know, this has a near and dear place in my heart, or I should say in my lung and a half that I've got left. The National Cancer Institute would be hit with a $1 billion cut compared to its 2017 budget. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute would see a $575 million cut. And the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases would see a reduction of $838 million. The administration would cut the overall National Institutes of Health budget from $31.8 billion to $26 billion. That's a lot of money. The National Science Foundation. Did you march in the science march? I hope so, because the National Science Foundation, which dispenses grants to a variety of scientific research endeavors, would be trimmed $776 million. That's 11% of their budget. National Science Foundation hadn't been mentioned in that skinny budget, which was released in March, because that was skinny. Now they got to fatten it up and take more. Mick Mulvaney, you know, that piece of shit, who is now the director of the Office of Management and Budget, said, "The National Science Foundation last year used your taxpayer money to fund a climate change musical. Do you think that's a waste of your money?" I don't know that they use it to fund a musical, but to educate on the dangers of climate change. Hell yeah. I would hope that that's what they're doing, because they're the National Science Foundation. He also noted the cuts to climate change research, saying that under President Barack Obama, the pendulum, quote, the pendulum went too far to one side. And he said the government spent too much on climate science. Climate science. This planet is going to be underwater soon. Certainly where I'm at in South Florida, part of it already is. Let's see. The proposed cuts to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention drew an unusually sharp rebuke from former CDC Director Tom Frieden, who went on Twitter to describe the administration's request as, quote, unsafe at any level of enactment, would increase illness, death, risks to Americans, and health care costs. This is all so that they can increase the military budget by 50-some-odd billion dollars. Oh, and put into effect a massive tax cut for the already wealthy. Let me say that again. They want to cut all these programs for the poor, for the hungry, for the needy, for the sick, into disease research, into cures, cancer research, into feeding hungry children, the CHIP program they want to cut. Meals on Wheels, yes, that's still going to be slashed. The full budget document released this morning. Let's see. I'm sickened by this. But again, the only reason I'm not completely over the top is because I know it's going to go nowhere. However, the Republicans who control both houses of Congress will use this as a blueprint from which to move forward. And it starts at such a horrific place. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how it'll get any better. I really don't. It's truly sickening. Just truly, truly sickening. This is someone, Randy Lover in the chat room. Welcome to the New World Order. So they want to make the hungry people hungrier. They want to increase the homeless population and give massive tax cuts to Donald Trump and his cronies and Wilbur Ross and the rest of the gang. Wilbur Ross. Did you hear what Wilbur Ross said after they left Saudi Arabia? And Wilbur Ross marveled that there were no protests.
There was not a single hint of a protester anywhere there during the whole time we were there. Not one guy with a bad placard. Instead,
but Secretary Ross, that may be not necessarily because they don't have those feelings there, but because they control people and don't allow them to come and express their feelings quite the same as we do here.
In theory, that could be true. But boy, there was certainly no sign of it. There was not a single effort at any incursion. There wasn't anything. The mood was a genuinely good mood. And at the end of the trip, as I was getting back on the plane, the security guards from the Saudi side who'd been helping us over the weekend all wanted to pose for a big photo op. And then they gave me two gigantic bushels of dates as a present, a thank you for the trip that we had had. That was a pretty from the heart, very genuine gesture.
Oh, give me a fucking break.
It really touched me.
Secretary Ross, we want to thank you for your time.
A bushel of dates. He sold his soul for a bushel of dates. No, not really, because he didn't have a soul to begin with. Really? They were so nice. They gave me two bushels of dates. Are you fucking kidding me? They didn't protest because, well, as I say in What's News, you'll hear it in a moment, they like having their heads attached to their bodies. That's why. Lily Santo in the YouTube chat room said, just heard McCain say budget's dead on arrival. Well, of course it is. Again, it's the reason that you don't get too apoplectic here, because the president's budgets are always dead on arrival. But this is where they're starting from. And for this, if you voted for Trump, fuck you. If you have any desire to vote for a Republican, you know what? Fuck you again. This is what they want to do to us. They want to screw you, and not in a good way. All right. Let's take a break. We'll do What's News. We'll come back with Gotta Laugh, because there's so much to talk about. So do this. I cover all this and more. Well, not the budget, but the trip. Get ready. I'll be back with Laffy in a moment. It's Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
What's News begins today with the tragic and horrific news out of Manchester, England, where 22 people have been killed and 59 injured in a suspected terrorist suicide bomb attack at an arena where pop singer Ariana Grande had just finished a concert performance. Of the attackers, Donald Trump said,
I will call them from now on losers. Because that's what they are. They're losers. And we'll have more of them. But they're losers. Just remember that.
As Donald Trump finishes the second leg of his 9-day overseas trip, things continue unraveling here at home. With the Washington Post on Monday afternoon reporting that the president approached both the director of national intelligence, Daniel Coats, and the director of the National Security Agency, Admiral Michael Rogers, quote, urging them to publicly deny the existence of any evidence of collusion during the 2016 election. But they, quote, refused to comply with the requests, which they both deemed to be inappropriate. As if that weren't enough, the report adds that, quote, senior White House officials sounded out top intelligence officials about the possibility of intervening directly with Comey to encourage the FBI to drop its probe of Michael Flynn. And if that wasn't enough, Michael Flynn officially refused to cooperate with congressional investigators, announcing that he'd invoke the Fifth Amendment, which protects against self-incrimination. His former boss, Mr. Trump, has yet to publicly comment, but we can go to the audio tape to hear what he thinks about
it. Just people take in the Fifth Amendment, like you see on the mob, right? You see the mob takes the Fifth. If you're innocent, why are you taking the Fifth Amendment?
When you have your staff taking the Fifth Amendment, taking the Fifth, I think it's disgraceful.
The guy who set up the server, remember him? And he pleaded the Fifth. He pleaded the Fifth Amendment. Wait, what are we going to do with this guy? He pleaded the Fifth, and that was the end. We never heard about him again. Boy, I'll tell you. This is like a third world country, folks.
While in Saudi Arabia, Trump delivered a speech to the Muslim world proclaiming,
"A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extreme. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your community. Drive them out of your holy land and drive them out of this earth."
He must have thought he was at the Toby Keith concert, which only men were permitted to attend, as only men are allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia. He also didn't use his favorite term, radical Islamic terrorism, but he screwed up what was on the teleprompter, saying instead,
"That means honestly confronting the crisis of Islamic extremism and the Islamists and Islamic terror of all kinds."
Whoops, he meant Islamist extremism. But he had an excuse.
After Trump made a mistake during a speech over the weekend, a senior White House official explained it by saying he's an exhausted guy. And to be fair, it's not like Trump insisted repeatedly on the campaign trail that stamina was an important thing for a president.
Hillary Clinton does not have the stamina, doesn't have the energy, she doesn't have it. We've got so many problems in this country. I say she does not have the stamina to be a good president. She doesn't have the stamina. I said she doesn't have the stamina. And I don't believe she does have the stamina. To be president of this country, you need tremendous stamina. You have to be able to negotiate. That's right. With Japan, with Saudi Arabia, you have so many different things you have to be able to do. And I don't believe that Hillary has the stamina.
Sure. Hillary doesn't have the stamina, but he's the Energizer Bunny. After his high-energy sword dance, his Fitbit said, "likely dead."
Wilbur Ross, Trump's 79-year-old Secretary of Commerce, doesn't have the stamina either. He was spotted nodding off during the low-energy speech. But he did observe of their time in Saudi Arabia,
"There was not a single hint of a protester anywhere there during the whole time we were there. Not one guy with a bad placard. Instead,
but Secretary Ross, that may be not necessarily because they don't have those feelings there, but because they control people and don't allow them to come and express their feelings quite the same as we do here.
In theory, that could be true, but boy, there was certainly no sign of it. There was not a single effort at any incursion. It wasn't anything.
No, not in theory. In reality, see, those people really like having their heads attached to their bodies, if you catch my drift. From Saudi Arabia, Trump went to Israel, where he planned to broker Middle East peace, saying before he left,
"It's a something that I think is frankly maybe not as difficult as people have thought over the years."
Then changing his mind.
"I've heard it's one of the toughest deals of all."
But he also apparently thought Israel was in Europe.
"The Secretary of State has done an incredible job. We just got back from the Middle East. We just got back to Saudi Arabia."
Next up, the Vatican. Start popping the popcorn, please. By the way, Fox News ranked third in the cable news primetime ratings for five straight days last week in the coveted 25 to 54 demographic, the network's longest streak in third place in 17 years. Maybe a trend is beginning. If you appreciate these What's News reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. What's News and The Nicole Sandler Show are 100% listener supported, and we depend on your help to keep going. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bungie? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
All right, we're going to try it this way today. Uh-oh. No. Why? All right, why do I have sound coming back again? Hold on. Oh, I see why. All right, Gotta Laugh, you there?
Yes, can you hear Gotta Laugh?
I can hear Gotta Laugh.
Well, that's swell. Hold on, I'll get the lady who talks to you. Yes. You've reached the Trump Goes to Israel hotline.
Okay. Hey.
Impressive one. If you think Trump was excited to visit the Wailing Wall because he thought it was an Israeli IMAX showing Moby Dick.
Beep. I lost my beeps this week.
You lost your beep ages ago. Press 2, if you think when Trump blurted out that he never mentioned Israel to the Russians, he not only confirmed Israel as the source of the intel, he also confirmed his own job. Grin stupidity.
Yes, he did. Beep, beep.
Beep, 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 beep. Press 3.
Okay.
Find the guest book at the Israel.
Okay. Now,
he thought he was...
Go ahead.
Sorry?
You know...
Can you hear?
I can hear. Finish, and then I'll tell you. Because you're not going to believe
okay.
it. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. I'll start that one again. Press 3 if you think when Trump signed the guest book at the Israeli president's residence, he thought he was signing an executive order to officially change the term yarmulke.
To change the term yarmulke to what?
Jew beanie.
Oh, God. You see, beep, beep, beep. That's a 3. And yeah, you know, so now you're on the phone this week and you're still yeah. cutting out.
I know. That's what I was telling you in chat. It's actually, I think, worse on the phone. I'm not sure.
It Weird. Might be because you sound like you're on a phone rather, you know, than in the studio with me, which you do sound on Skype. Now you sound
right.
like you're on a phone. I wonder,
yeah.
is your phone like through the internet?
No.
So it's just a regular old landline.
I'm on a landline, yeah.
That is so weird.
I know. I hate using my phone for one thing because the sound isn't as good. And now it's glitchy and I'm mad at it. So what are we going to do?
Well, so far so good. But if it gets glitchy again, I mean, right now
yeah.
it's good. Then we
okay.
should try your cell phone because I think it has to do with your wiring.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
Although my cell, well, that's not sure that makes sense because my computer is on a whole different thing. But okay, well,
oh.
let's keep going. anywho, so today they had the John Brennan,
the hearing
guy. I'm sorry?
Yes, the John Brennan was in the hot seat. I don't even know which committee it was, but there he was. I think it was the House.
I've forgotten.
Yeah.
Totally forgotten. But Trey Gowdy was in on it. So whatever committee Trey Gowdy is on, but he kind of blew a hole in the witch hunt, talking point that Trump likes to use because he said that his own concerns, you know, meaning Brennan, led, the FBI to investigate ties between Russia and the Trump campaign. So it wasn't a witch hunt.
Well, it's not a witch hunt. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. There's so much there, and yet they're still trying to, you know, say it's a witch hunt. One thing that Brennan did say was that, you know, they kept, I saw big parts of it today because I wasn't feeling well this morning. So I was lying down in the living room listening to it and hearing the whole part about I lost my train of thought. I'm just having one of those days.
Well, you know what? I have a brief rundown, of like a 10-point rundown of what was covered. Maybe it'll remind you. Just stop me whenever
okay.
whenever you figure out what you're... Did you remember?
No, go ahead.
Okay. It's from RVA Wonk on Twitter. She gave a brief thing here, some takeaways. One, he briefed congressional leaders on August, September 2016, and the Democrats wanted to go public, but the GOP wouldn't. That's one thing.
Right. Well, you know what? No, I got what it was. He kept saying they
okay.
kept trying to get him on that he wanting to ask him what evidence he's uncovered. And he said, well, I'm in intelligence. I don't deal in evidence. I deal with intelligence. And, you know, they kept trying to get him on semantics. He's
right.
like, I don't
right.
uncover evidence. I don't gather evidence. That's the FBI. I was with the CIA. We do intelligence. We do counterintelligence. We look at, I'm forgetting what the word was he used. But Trey Gowdy kept trying to trip him up on that. Adam Schiff
right.
was also there. So it was the House Intelligence Committee. Duh,
okay.
which makes sense since he was the CIA
yeah.
director. But he, you know, he kept saying, look, my knowledge of what went on ended on January 20th. That was my last day there. On January 20th, I'm not privy to anything that happened after that. It was frustrating listening to it, and not feeling well was difficult listening to it because they kept going round and round. And he's saying, Trey Gowdy also, every time I looked up, someone was being contentious with him. It was Trey Gowdy.
Oh, well, they were all deferring to him. They were all giving Trey Gowdy their time.
Oh, is that
so? They would
why?
Say a couple of sentences and then say, okay, I give it back to you, Trey Gowdy. And he would do his little Benghazi thing, you know, where he was just on talking points and attacking. I was waiting for him to blame it all on Obama, but, you know, he pretty much was going to at some point. But, yeah, he did say exactly what you said, that I don't do evidence, I do intelligence, so that – and he was gone before they did come up with certain things. So he couldn't possibly have said, yes, this happened, you know, because he wasn't in on it.
Right.
So that was part of it. Also, regarding Trump's disclosure of intelligence to Russians, Brennan said that he may have violated at least two protocols for disclosing top secret info.
Mm-hmm.
He also confirmed that Cyprus was a key location for Russian money laundering, and that was within the context of Paul Manafort and Wilbur Ross, and I think there was someone else who met at Cyprus and they have dealings with the Cyprus banks and whatnot. I'm sorry, they didn't meet. I was thinking of the Seychelles Islands. I'm sorry, but they did have dealings with banks and business there. She also said that Brennan also confirmed Clapper's account about not being briefed on the counterintelligence probe due to compartmentalization, which is what I just said. And then she said Gowdy met his match today. Brennan knocked down his grandstanding and deflections better than nearly anyone I've seen. Brennan explained Russia's history of successfully compromising businessmen and installing them in high positions in foreign governments, which made Trump especially appealing to Russia. Though not the only reason. So there's your recap right there.
Right. Now, tomorrow, it was supposed to be Comey testifying before the House Oversight Committee. Yes, that's Jason Chaffetz committee.
Oversight, yeah.
Jason Chaffetz, who, by the way, it looks like is stepping down at the end of June. Why do they do this? They run for election and then they can't serve out 2 years? I mean, really, it would kill him to serve out his term. You know how many millions of dollars it will cost for a special election to fill Chaffetz's seat? So
well, that's, you know, it's the old Sarah Palin syndrome.
Yeah, yes, it is. Although,
you know, half go Palin, we've got half-term Chaffetz now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he was offered a job at Fox, and so he wants to go for the money instead of serving out his term. I also think that he's disgusted with Trump, and he doesn't want to have to defend him. And so he's like, screw this, I'm out of here. And he figures he'll come back eventually and run for the Senate or something better. But anyway, Comey was supposed to testify before the House Oversight Committee tomorrow, but he spoke with Chaffetz yesterday, and he said he wants to speak with Mueller first. Comey did. And so Chaffetz said, all right, so I guess now Comey will testify in an open hearing sometime after Memorial Day. That's if he can.
If he's given the okay, because like you said, Mueller made his whole investigation may prevent them from, or at least deter them from getting Comey in front of everybody in public. So we'll see. Meanwhile, which really, unfortunately, because of the terrorist attack in England, this went relatively unnoticed for the rest of the day. It started out as the biggest story of the day yesterday, but Trump asked intel chiefs to push back probe after Comey revealed its existence. He asked two of the nation's top intel officials in March to help him push back against the FBI investigation.
This is pretty stunning. So the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence, and Michael Rogers, the director of the NSA, he asked both of them, here, the actual quote, because I have this in my What's News script, urging them to publicly deny the existence of any evidence of collusion during the 2016 election. They refused because, and they both deemed it inappropriate. You think? Now, they said they weren't sure if it was illegal. How could it not be illegal? But they both compared notes and said, can you believe this fucker did this?
And that one of the quotes I pulled was, the problem wasn't so much asking them to issue statements, it was asking them to issue false statements about an ongoing investigation. false statements.
Yes.
So it compounds. I mean, it's one thing that he asked, and that's already bad. But to then say, lie for me.
Yeah. Can I just say, let's step back for a moment and just in an alternate universe, say Hillary Clinton was elected and any one of these things, they'd be going ballistic. I mean, it would have been nonstop. She would have already been, the impeachment papers would already be on the table.
Oh, my God, yes. They'd be having wall-to-wall hearings, and she'd be sitting there for another 11 hours a day.
Yep.
And right now we've got them defending Trump, Kurt Gowdy being given the please take it, Kurt, and he runs with that. They're on record as defending Trump, so they're going to own all of this.
And I think, again, in November of 2018, it'll play out, but we have 18 months to go.
I know. I'm not sure if it's going to, get just tremendously worse or if people are going to get so used to it that they'll sort of, whatever. The Democrats, of course, will be using quotes all over the place in their ads.
Oh, yeah.
But, let's hope that it's as intense as it is now, because right now it's at a boiling point until the bombing the IED or whatever you want to call the guy who blew himself up in England.
Yeah.
Until that happened.
Let's just talk about that for a second. Terrorists are they're sick people regardless, but who they targeted here? What's her name? Ariana Grande. Apparently she was a Nickelodeon or a Disney star or something. So she's her fans are young girls. They're teeny bopper girls. So
exactly. And can I just add to that this morning Paul Ryan a little press conference, and of course, absolutely correctly said exactly what you said, how they target children. And then let's just now jump to the budget that targets children.
Yes. SCHIP, by the way, that's how my daughter has had health insurance all these years. Because I'll tell you, in the last 10 years has been a rough one for me. Since the 2008 meltdown, I've been having a difficult time, and she, I lost my house. I'm going to lose this one too. That's how she's had health insurance, and I'm better off than a lot of people. I mean, it blows my mind, and that's what they want to take away. And Mick Mulvaney,
exactly.
That piece of shit. Did you hear some of his quotes? Hold on, I'm going to share
on
with
Twitter.
You.
I just saw a couple.
Oh, forget Twitter. Okay, longer than that. He says, if I can look you in the eye and say, I'm going to take this money from you so I can help this injured vet, I can do that in good conscience. I'm a lot less comfortable to the point of not wanting to look you in the eye and say, look, I need to take this money from you to give to this person over here who really isn't disabled, but is getting a disabled benefit, or this person over here who's supposed to use the money to go to school, but isn't actually going. Mulvaney said the government would, quote, no longer measure compassion by the number of programs or the number of people on those programs, but by the number of people we help get off those programs.
Oh, my God.
He says, here's the quote. You have to have compassion for folks who are receiving the federal funds, but also you have to have compassion for folks who are paying it.
That's the part I saw about the taxpayer-friendly, whatever it was. Okay, let me just make a point that I make constantly, because it drives me nuts when I hear the old Randy Rhodes, love the fetus, hate the child.
Yeah.
While I agree with that.
They don't love the fetus.
They don't love the fetus because they're cutting programs that will keep fetuses healthy inside the pregnant woman's womb. So if the pregnant woman can't keep herself healthy or eat properly or get proper health care, then either the fetus dies or she's giving birth to a very unhealthy baby.
Yes.
So this pro-life bull is absolutely contradicted by their own stupid budget plans.
The National Cancer Institute would be hit with a $1 billion cut compared to its 2017 budget. $1 billion. What does that do to Joe Biden's cancer moonshot?
There you go. There it is.
You know, look, again, I know I bring it back to me because that's what I know. Look, this is the show I do. You know, I talk about the world through my eyes as I live it and I experience it. So just almost a year ago, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. Thankfully, knock on wood laminate, we caught it early and it looks so far so good. I have another scan next week. I need to have these quarterly scans now to make sure that it doesn't come back. But, you know, my mother died of leukemia in 1979. I was talking with someone the other night about her, a family member who has leukemia, and the difference in the medications. And I look at the amazing progress they've made in the last 40 years. And I think, you know, if this were today, my mother, you know, maybe she could be cured, or if not cured, perhaps she could have lived another 10, 20 years, because the research they've done is so monumental. They've gone so far. They've come so far with protocols, with different, you know, the gene testing and everything. And it's like night and day from 40 years ago to now. And I remember she'd come home from chemo in just tons of pain. I remember she had a prescription for Quaaludes that we used to steal from her, because I was a teenager, you know, and they want to cut the National Cancer Institute funding. They want to cut the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, infectious disease, the whole National Health Service. They want to it so they can give tax breaks to those rich people. By the way, we should do Tweet Spot, because my favorite one is the Mar-a-Lago one.
Okay, I've got it. I have a few more to add, to maybe three or four more to add.
All right, well then let's
go for it.
Let's just do it.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. All right. So we'll start from the beginning, which is a very good place to start. CNBC's Steve Kopak said, Trump says of the age-old dispute between Israelis and Palestinians, and I've got one more to add to this. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is a different one. He said, I've heard it's one of the toughest of all, the Israeli and Palestinian talks.
Right. Well, hold on. I've got audio for you. So the first you'll hear, here's that part.
It's a... something that I think is frankly maybe not as difficult as people have thought over the years.
Right, but first he said,
one of the toughest deals of all.
Right, so yesterday he said, I've heard it's one of the toughest deals of all. That's after he said, oh, it's not so hard.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Oh, it's just like healthcare. Who knew it was going to be so hard? And
that's right.
I mean, it's just, come on. Just, why does anyone listen to him? He's horrible. He's a horrible. Did you watch Jonathan Oliver?
John Oliver. No, I only saw the very I only saw the beginning of it. I fell asleep.
Oh, go back and.
Oh,
find
I will.
It.
I will. No, I'll. We have it on the DVR. I just.
Oh,
yeah, couldn't stop.
Right. Because he the wording he uses to describe the whole show is devoted to Trump and the last week of Trump.
Yep.
And but the wording I don't have the words in front of me, but the wording he uses to say how awful Trump is just priceless. So go ahead and watch it. I was hoping you had clips. Okay. Number two, this is from Rain of April. She is managing editor of New Tribe magazine.
Okay.
All right. And this happened again today.
Yes,
just
it
so
did.
You have a little...
I saw.
Yep. Trump really thought he was going to pull an Obama move and hold Melania's hand. Not today. She refused. And today he whacked her on the butt coming out of the airplane and she shoved him away again. So he's doing real well with his wife, isn't he?
I didn't see him whack her on the butt. What I saw, well, first of all, the thing yesterday with the hand grab as they're walking down the tarmac in Israel was classic. And we were watching the NBC Nightly News and they even had it as a story on the NBC Nightly News, which I just thought was great. But today they get off the plane in Rome and they're at the top of the stairs and they both wave, you know, they do the parade wave, and he puts his hand down next to hers and she picks it up and pushes her hair back. Like it was just, and the internet is applauding her saying, you go, girl.
Oh, I saw that. Well, just before, I think it was just before that, he gives her a little pat on the butt.
Oh, my God. He's such a...
It was just gross.
By the way, I just got to mention, did you see Billy Bush he must have hired a PR person. So now he did an interview with, I was going to say Access Hollywood, probably not, with a Hollywood Reporter.
that would be really bad.
Yeah, I know. It really would. I think it was the Hollywood Reporter, and he's talking about, you know, making a comeback, and he's got daughters, and oh, it really tugs at the heartstrings. But he did make a good point. You know, he laughed. He got fired. Trump said the things, and he's president.
No, absolutely. I mean, they were both pigs, but Trump was the bigger pig. Billy Bush was a wannabe and a like me, please like me, and trying to get approval.
Yeah.
Trump was the one who said it all. So
yeah, and he's president.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, I still cannot believe it. I just, you know, every now and then I stop down and think we are living in an alternate universe. This cannot be happening.
I know. What kills me, like you said before, if any one of these things happened to any Democrat, they'd be out on their butts.
Yeah.
They'd be in front of the committee, of every committee. They'd be in committee, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
We live in it.
Right in the middle of a pile.
Yep.
Okay, so Richard Painter, the former chief ethics lawyer for George, he said, in one day we learn, and this falls right into opposite world, in one day we learn that Flynn is pleading the fifth and the White House is giving the finger to OGE regarding secret ethics waivers.
Right, OGE, the Office of Government Ethics.
Yeah, thank you. Which, by the way, slapped him down. But, yeah. I mean, this is what we're seeing. We're seeing Trumpco, as I call them, just give the middle finger to everybody and everything,
well, that's,
and getting away with whatever.
You know, what the story behind that is that there were ethics violations here, and the Office of Government Ethics asked the Trump administration for more paperwork, and they said, no, we're not going to give it to you.
Yeah,
we don't have to. That's, we don't have to comply.
No, we don't have to because we're Trump.
Yeah,
Trump is the king.
Unbelievable. Speaking of Trump being the king, that's why he loved Saudi Arabia so much, because everything was so gold and opulent. And it's so funny because you saw they go from Saudi Arabia with all of the garish gold and stuff, right? And the room where they had the speech in, oh God, that deadly, boring speech. Oh my God. No wonder Wilbur Ross fell asleep. I get that. But everybody else did too. And they had those really comfortable big leather chairs that looked like they belonged in, they were the two-seaters in movie theaters for each person. They go from there to Israel, where it's nice, but not quite as opulent. And then they go to the Palestinian Authority, and it's like just bare bones.
No. And well, I didn't see any of it.
And now today they go to the Vatican, so they're back to the garish opulence again.
Yes, but I have a feeling that the Pope will, in a very, very sweet way, just put him in his place.
Well, I hope so. I can't wait to see what happens there.
He may be thinking he's getting complimented.
Of course.
It'll go right over his head.
Yes.
Okay, here's the one you like. This is from Rick Wilson, who is a Republican consultant, and he's always on. He's a riot. He's got a really good Twitter feed called The Rick Wilson. Even though he's a Republican, he is a riot. So he's fun to.
You're breaking up again. Go ahead.
So he was responding to a report by The Hill that there was a sinkhole that opened up in front of Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rick Wilson says, I'll take easy metaphors for $400.
That is the funniest thing. You know, I saw it as well. And then when I saw it on your tweet spot list, it's like that is the best tweet that wins. But somebody's calling in. Let's just see who this is. Hi, who's this?
It's Mark. Hi, I'm in San Francisco.
Hey, Mark from San Francisco. Laffy, can you hear Mark?
I can, and I used to live in San Francisco. I love it there.
It's a great town. But anyway, I'm calling. You know, I think it's pretty obvious, and it should be obvious to the rest of the country, that the Republican Party sold out to the highest bidder. The whole party is just about taking money from the poor and the middle class and transferring it to the rich. It's absolutely disgusting, and they're getting away with it, and the media doesn't report that this party's bankrupt and really a threat to the whole country.
The media doesn't report because they're trying to be fair. You know, that's the thing. They're trying to be fair, so they can't, you know. But I do have to say, when, you know, the media, it's a big, we're talking about it as if it's a one thing. For the years I've ragged on the mainstream corporate media, I got to say, my hat is off to the New York Times and the Washington Post. They have been doing unbelievably good work, and I've subscribed to the Washington Post. If I could afford it, I'd subscribe to the New York Times as well. I get my my 10 articles a month on each computer, and hope that's enough.
Well, I subscribe to them both because of what the work they were starting to do.
Yes.
And also, I like that it's become a sort of a friendly rivalry where who can top who on the best story, and that's encouraging younger writers and younger reporters to get involved because they're seeing something that they haven't seen in 20 years.
Yep. And even, you know, TV news, I got to say, my favorite was Anderson Cooper telling, what's his name, Jeffrey Lord, you know, Donald Trump could take a dump on his desk and you'd defend him. You know, they're finally, but he still has Jeffrey Lord on his show. That's the thing. Anyway, I'm sorry, Mark. But
no, it's okay, Nicole. You know, the thing is, I mean, it's obvious that the voices like Tom Hartman, yourself, Randy Rhodes, a lot of the other really truth tellers in this country are being silenced to a big degree, and really the journalism in this country has an obligation to start reporting on how cruel and ruthless this Republican Party is. They're willing to basically kill or take away 24 million people's health care in this country. They're willing to cut all these programs for what? To give the rich a tax cut?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's absolutely disgusting.
And Trump flat out lied. So all those people who voted for him, all those people who are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck or, you know, wishing for a paycheck that they could live paycheck to paycheck with, you know, they are totally screwed over by this guy. He's gone back on everything he said. He said he wasn't going to touch Medicaid. Well, there's a massive cut of Medicaid in this budget. Again, it's not going to go through. But the fact that this is their starting point is sickening.
It is.
Well,
and you know,
I think
go ahead.
Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, the thing is, it's so obvious that this party's really hurting the middle class and poor in this country. And they're just showing their hand that what they're all about. And really, journalism in this country really has an obligation, I think, to really come forward and start speaking about how much cruelty and how much damage this party is doing to everyday Americans, and quit trying to say that you know, this is some kind of legitimate party. You know, we should be screaming that this wasn't even a legitimate election, and that none of these policies should go through because this was not really voted by the people of this country. And we should say that we shouldn't have any litigation, I mean, or any legislation going through until there's another election, just like they did with the Supreme Court justice.
That's right.
Well, unfortunately, until it affects directly, until it affects both the voters and the Republican Party, where they see their donations go away, where they see their approvals drop, where they see their voters screaming at them, and when the voters finally get affected directly, when they see their Medicaid dropped, when they see other programs cut that they depend on, until that happens, unfortunately, it's like when you see crashes on a street over and over again, and the cops say, well, until somebody dies, or, you know, whoever's involved, whoever, until somebody dies, we don't put a traffic light there. We have to have a fatality before we're allowed to put a traffic light up. It's the same kind of thing. Until they see a result, until they see a result that affects them, then they don't move on anything. So that's unfortunate, but we have to wait for it.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I mean, I think a lot of us that really know what's going on in this country, we just need to start screaming at our politicians that, you know, we're not going to put up with it.
People
want to be represented.
You know,
we're tired of it.
That was the nice thing about the town halls, groups like Indivisible, People are showing up. People are angry. You know, Thursday is going to be a big test. If you know anyone in Montana, tell them to get out and vote. If Rob Quist wins that congressional seat from Montana, that's going to send shockwaves because it's Montana.
Yep. Right.
Yes. Yes. And the other one that the other fellow that's running, I think, is it in Georgia?
Yes, John Ossoff, and he's in the latest poll shows him nice with a nice lead. So again,
like 7 points up or something.
Yeah, that'll be a big
and
one there.
Getting a ton of money today. There was somebody who put a report out that in Montana he topped
$6 million. Yeah, I think $6 million. Well, Bernie Sanders was there all weekend with him and apparently tore down the place. So in a good way. You know, in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, we're really at a crucial point in this country. And, you know, people just really have to start getting active and screaming. I think the Republicans, aren't they kind of hiding from their town halls?
Yep, they sure are.
That should be brought out. Why aren't you holding these town halls? What are you hiding? You know,
we really.
Well, they are. They are doing that. Scream. They're holding town halls with cardboard cutouts, and they're putting milk cartons out with their congressperson on the milk carton, saying, "Where is this person? They're missing." So people are drawing attention to that, and only a handful up out of a couple of hundred that should show up. So it's being made obvious. I know that it's being spotlighted on at least on MSNBC. So, you know, but yeah, Quist really needs to win. If he wins, there's going to be a big jaw drop, a collective jaw drop from the Republicans.
Okay, Mark.
You know, ladies,
Yeah,
I live in California. We don't have, we got rid of most of the Republicans here and our state's doing really well. I just hope the rest of the country can see this and start understanding we got to kick these Republicans out of office.
Without a doubt. All right, Mark, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call.
Go.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, Laffy.
Okay, I got to read you. Okay, there's a couple more tweets that tie into. Okay, so this is Feinberg, who is a senior writer at Wired. Trump.
I think it's 1,000,000%. Is that 1,000,000%?
I think it is.
1, 2, 3, 4.
A bunch of people.
No, it's 10,000. Because there's only five zeros.
He says, we just got back from the Middle East. He's telling people.
Yeah. Well,
and she says.
Oh, Laffy, you're completely cutting out again. I'm wondering, for so long you were good. Did you move or something?
No, I'm still sitting in the same chair in the same spot.
That's so weird, because for a while it was a good connection, and now you keep dropping out again. Yeah, this is the clip I played before where Trump is in Israel, and he says, we just got back from the Middle East. And you see the guy who's the ambassador to the UN from Israel who he starts cracking up, and then he does a facepalm thing, and then he runs his hands through his hair to try to mask
it. And then there's another
it.
One from today. Donald Trump, Saudi Arabia and the Middle East were great, trying hard for peace, blah, blah, blah. So again, he separated it.
Yes, I saw that too. Yeah, that was on Twitter. He put that on Twitter. So it's in writing. Hold on, it's right here. He says, Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the Middle East were great. Trying hard for peace. Trying hard for peace. Doing well. Headed to Vatican and Pope, then G7 and NATO. I don't think he's going to make it. You know, they kept having to cancel events that he was supposed to do because he was exhausted.
Yes, he doesn't have any stamina, apparently.
I know. He doesn't have the stamina.
There's something that's not a tweet, but it's hilarious. It's Slate. Slate.com. Mm-hmm. Official White House document promotes lasting peace between Israelis and Palestinians.
I saw that was the press release that the White House put out with a typo in it. Lasting, they're promoting lasting peace instead of peace.
Right.
Unbelievable. They can't even get someone to proofread their press releases before they put them out?
They've had so many of those go out that are like that. It's so embarrassing. So that happened. Okay, here's a couple of good comments on the budget. Callie Joy Gray, who is at ShareBlue, she
she's at ShareBlue, really? She left, you know, she was at Daily Kos. I've never been a big Daily Kos fan, but Cher Blue, that's the Peter Dow, David Brock crapola. It's the Drudge Report of the left.
It is.
But okay, I like Callie Joy Gray. She's good, but why is she there?
I like her too, but yeah, she's senior editor there. Paul Ryan has said, we can finally turn the page on the Obama era of bloated budgets that never balance. And she said, we can find a page on children eating and poor people going to doctors.
Uh-huh. That's true.
That was perfect. And who I adore.
Who? Say again? You keep dropping now.
Yeah. L-O-L-G-O-P.
Oh, L-O-L-G-O-P is hysterical. That is a great Twitter account to follow. L-O-L-G-O-P. Yeah. Okay. Said what?
Pretty cool how conservatives think $4 a day for food will spoil a kid, but $100 billion inheritance is the only way to learn the value of work.
Ooh, that's very true. By the way, it is not called the death tax, corporate media. It's called the estate tax. There is no such thing as a death tax. There is an estate tax that the Republicans want to kill. Just had to get that out.
Yeah. Because the news people use it as shorthand now, and it's not accurate. And it's such a small percentage of people.
Yeah, it's only people like the Trumps and those kind of in that stratosphere that get to, you know, that care about it anyway. It doesn't affect us.
No, right. Exactly. So, and that's the kind of shorthand that I hear.
It's late. We're out of time. Laffy, we've made it to the end of an hour. I didn't even realize, but it is that time. It's the end of the show. Thank you, Gotta Laugh. Find her on Twitter. I'll be better tomorrow. I promise.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I did not realize it had gotten so late, but we're already over time. Tomorrow on the program, because Trump is doing his tour of the world's great religions, tomorrow we're going to speak with Frank Schaeffer, whose father was like the guy who helped found the religious right. I promise you'll enjoy listening to Frank Schaeffer. So that's tomorrow, and hopefully I'll be feeling better. All right. I'll leave you with Brad and Desi in the Green News Report. Thanks for bearing with us today. Bye.
It's Tuesday, May 23, 2017.
Apparently, even the most advanced apocalypse bunkers aren't safe from climate change.
Global seed vault flooded by melting permafrost. Antarctica is going green and not in a good way. Plus, Trump's final budget proposal takes a hatchet to the environment.
All of that slashing and burning straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Trump gave another commencement speech, this time at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy.
I've loosened up the strangling environmental chains wrapped around our country and our economy.
Yes, he's loosened the strangling environmental chains around America, especially those chains about global warming, which is good news for the Coast Guard, because soon they'll be able to patrol the coast of Kansas.
Semper Paratus, this is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we're just getting details now, but the White House has put forward its final budget proposal to Congress, and boy, oh boy, does the EPA get slashed and burnt.
Yep. President Trump's final budget proposal, released on Tuesday, as expected, saves its biggest cuts for the research and enforcement budget of the Environmental Protection Agency. It cuts the agency's budget by 31%, eliminates more than 3,000 EPA staff jobs, that's about 20% of its workforce, and eliminates 50 climate research programs. The budget slashes funding for Superfund cleanup sites and proposes selling half of the oil in the nation's strategic petroleum reserve to raise revenue. Now, that's a proposal that's likely to get very strong bipartisan resistance from Congress, because most of them say that that kind of move would threaten national security.
Yeah, it sure would. He wants to sell off half of the strategic oil. I mean, this is what we use in the event of an attack and in the event that we can't.
In times of war and in times of natural disaster.
So he wants wants to sell that off, and I suspect at some point we'll have to start filling it up and buying that oil at higher prices, perhaps, than we bought it for in the first place.
He also intends to open up the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge for drilling, and he has additional cuts to the Department of Energy and the Interior Department.
Interestingly, at the Department of Energy, they actually get a cut of 5.5%. But the Department of Energy gets a boost on the programs that have to do with militarizing nuclear science. But then it cuts the rest of the department's budget, which includes programs like energy research and development, national laboratories, and radioactive waste disposal. That just days after we had that near catastrophe up in Washington State at the Hanford nuclear site where they store radioactive waste, and one of the tunnels actually crumbled and collapsed. And yet we're cutting that program. It's madness.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but luckily this is not the final word. Congress will still have quite a bit of say in what the actual final budget will look like.
Indeed, they actually write their budget from scratch, but, you know, the president has the ability to veto whatever Congress sends them. So we may be in for a fight, and it won't be a pretty one.
Melting permafrost at the North Pole last fall ominously flooded an entrance to the global seed vault in Svalbard, Norway. That's the subterranean vault that contains more than 500 million seeds intended to recreate humanity's food supply in case of disaster, like global warming. In a story just made public this week, unseasonably warm temperatures and heavy rains last fall caused water to breach one of the tunnel entrances to the so-called Doomsday Vault. Although officials say the seeds were never in any danger, they say they're taking no chances now and are building new protective measures. Antarctica is going green, literally, and not in a good way. Although plants are still scarce at the South Pole, in the past 50 years, the quantity and rate of growth of plants has shot up sharply. That's according to a new study where scientists used core samples taken from the banks of moss around the Antarctic Peninsula. They say that shows the rate of moss growth at the South Pole is now 4 to 5 times higher than it was in the 1950s, thanks to retreating glaciers opening up new ice-free ground and Antarctica's rapidly warming climate.
Global warming is a hoax. I don't know how many times I have to explain this to you. Never mind the evidence. Everywhere you look.
Finally, some good news.
Oh, well, take your time.
Switzerland has voted to accelerate their country's transition to renewable electricity in a binding referendum vote on Sunday. 58% of the Swiss voted to add a surcharge of about $50 a year to their electric bills to subsidize and speed up deployment of wind and solar energy projects and to modernize their electric grid.
I am so moving to Switzerland. For much more on those stories and the ones we couldn't fit into today's Green News Report, please stop by our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide while you still can on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, Switzerland, I never thought I'd have you as a friend. I'm praying it was not at all pretend. I need you now to help pick me up from my